Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the program dedicated to helping believers and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening today. All this month, we are interviewing Pastor Wayne Marcus of the Toms Creek Baptist Church in Martin, Georgia, about event evangelism. Listen in on today's interview.
We've been talking about event evangelism. We have talked about the definition of an evangelistic event. Last week, we talked about how to promote the event. Wayne, you've got three big events that go on that we've been talking about, just to give some context. That's Upwards Basketball, a Wild Game Supper where you have around 1,000 men, and then Judgment House that you do, in October, you run hundreds and hundreds of youth through there. I know for a fact that it takes a lot of manpower and a lot of volunteers from your church to pull all of these off. Wayne, talk about how do you get your church involved in helping pull off these events?
Well, we start with each one of them by enlisting and I know churches hate to hear this word, but we enlist a committee for each one of these. With the Wild Game Supper, the Brotherhood gets a committee from within the Brotherhood to oversee each area that's going to be needed, and we've kind of broken that down into different categories. And then in Judgment House, we have a committee of people who work to enlist people, and then they do it based on, because there's so many different roles in the Judgment House. You have to have actors, you have to have counselors, you have to have parking lot attendants, you have to have security, you have a food committee that cooks food each night for the cast. So there's so many people. So what we do is we start off by simply getting people to be over each one of those, and then we ask those people to enlist people to help them. And each room in Judgment House has a room director, someone who's over the room, which gets people to help them set up, take down, basically oversee each aspect of their room. And so we really do it kind of the Moses idea. You know, we start off with somebody in charge and ask them to delegate or to elect somebody to help them, choose somebody to help them, and it just kind of works down the list with each one. But I believe the key to church involvement in each one of those is giving someone something to do, expecting them to do it, and making sure they're trained to do it, and then to ask them to do it. You know, Toms Creek's a great church. It's a wonderful church and hardworking people. But if I don't get told no, I don't think I'm asking people enough.
If all you're getting are yeses, you're not out there beating the bushes enough then, are you?
That's right. Yeah, I think it's important to ask people, you know, and honestly, even if they turn you down, most of the time they feel honored that you even asked them.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's a good word. And so really what you do, you know, Moses principle, you take the task, the event, you put together an oversight committee who I'm sure kind of knows what to do. And there's some people that do these events kind of from year to year, but really you give them ownership of it. And then they pass that ownership down through the remainder of the church body that they're out asking to do tasks and assigning responsibilities to.
That's exactly right. And each person knows how many people they're supposed to. We tell them when we do it, this is how many people that a minimum you need. And even in the Judgment House scenes, if they get more people who want to act than what they have scenes for, well, then we double up on our actors. And so that, first of all, you get more people involved. But secondly, if somebody were to get sick or somebody can't come a night, then somebody else is trained and ready to step in. And usually by the end of the week, because you do this 18, 19 times, you do the same scene 18, 19 times every single night for five solid nights. Well, usually people who are not used to speaking that often a night, their throat will start going out by Tuesday or Wednesday. So it gives them a break and lets them rest their throat, and it gets people involved. The fellowship is as fun as the event itself, and seeing people out of their comfort zone is, they have to walk by faith when they're not comfortable. So I just really feel like the Lord's honored by that.
Well, and I know that when you pass down that ownership, that creates excitement among those who take ownership of that responsibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, and what's so amazing, and I'm going to use Judgment House again because this is where you see people really get excited because they own their room when somebody comes in there, that's their section of of responsibility, and they're so, you know, they take so much pride in what they do, how they decorate it and all that stuff. And so when people come into their room and they do that, it's amazing to watch how many people from each cast member's family will come through, and workers and all that stuff. I mean, you know, they go to work and they say, look, I'm in this drama, and it's great. And they go into work telling them what happened the night before. And usually before the end of the week, you'll see people from their family come. And then when that person gets saved, you're talking about a hallelujah party at the end of the event. It's just amazing to watch
wow.
how excited they get when they realize that they were a part of sharing the gospel, that family members or coworkers to get saved.
So getting your church involved not only helps with getting the work done, it helps with the promotion of the event, the invitations for the event, and really the celebration of the event all at the same time.
It does. It really builds an enthusiasm and excitement for the whole, for evangelism altogether, because they, you know, if people are not telling the story, they don't get excited about the story. But when they tell the story
right.
and they see the impact of the gospel and how it changes people's lives, especially people that they're relative to, or that they, you know, they have relationships with at work, it really just really gets them fired up to see something great happen.
That was Pastor Wayne Marcus of Toms Creek Baptist Church in Martin, Georgia, and he's helping us out all this month with event evangelism. To get some more evangelism ideas, be sure and visit our equipping website, www.evangelismga.com. There you can find out a lot more about event evangelism and evangelism in general. Right after the break, we're going to come back with our evangelism team, and we're going to be discussing event evangelism.
We found it while we were dating.
I found it after the death of my daughter.
I found it working my way to the top.
Find hope today at findithere.com. Call 888-537-8720. A message from Southern Baptists.
Welcome back to Network, the program dedicated to helping believers in churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland, and with me today is Steve Parr, the Vice President for Evangelism and Sunday School of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Steve, we just heard Wayne talk about getting your church involved in the event, and I know when I was a pastor, if you'd asked me how many workers do we need, I would have always said just one more, you know, just as many as we can get involved. Is great. And I think Wayne kind of takes that approach. How does his approach, I know you've done a lot of events throughout your ministry career. How does his approach compare to what you did in getting the church involved?
Well, similar in regard to he gets a lot of people involved, and you hit on something here too. As we get people involved, we need some small jobs and some big jobs. Some people can't be there all week or spend a lot of time, but they could do a piece of it. So it's good to have all kinds of ways people can plug in. But let me give you kind of three approaches that I've used over the years. One would be a team approach where I enlist maybe three teams. You know, because you may be a pastor of a small church right now. And this may be an event where you're hoping to have 20 people maybe or 10 people or 15. Well, you know, you may just need two or three teams. You go and you enlist three teams, give them a piece of the puzzle, so to speak, and have them really focus and do it with great quality and great energy and the best they can. Another approach would be a coordinator approach. I go and enlist three coordinators or four or five, depending on the event, of course. And the coordinator, in turn, enlists his or her own teams. So that makes it a little simpler for me as a pastor. I'm just enlisting three or four, depending on how many teams I want. But then the third approach I've taken is the existing groups approach, I guess you'd say. For example, I did an event with college students where I got every class to take a specific piece of the event, the cleanup, the setup, the food preparation, who's going to bring the drinks, the music, the giveaways, and every class had a responsibility. See, that gave me the double impact of not only helping with the event, but also infecting my Sunday school small groups with, you know, teamwork and leadership and missions in and of themselves. But the bottom line is, whatever you do, the existing groups approach, the coordinator approach, teams approach, You need a steering team, he called it a committee, that you meet with on a regular basis to make sure all the pieces are fitting together. Doesn't mean you meet every day, but every couple of weeks as you lead up, how's your part going?
Yeah, I think, Steve, when I was a pastor, in ministry, I do all three of those. If I was the one event I took responsibility for was the revival, and I was really the coordinator for it, and I enlisted teams to help me pull all that off. In other things I was responsible for, I switched to the project coordinator approach, and I would bring one or two people into my office and just really cast that vision with them, and really I felt like it was my responsibility to fire them up about that event, to really motivate them, and then let them, you know, spread that through their ranks as they went out and enlisted other people. And then, of course, we use Sunday school all the time to as groups to help pull off other events. So really, it's not that you just take one approach. You take all three of those.
Well, the body of Christ is indeed a body, mm-hmm. and every part has a role to play. So we would do well to involve as much of the body as possible. And again, we talked about last week how you use that law of large numbers in your community. Here's how you apply it to your congregation by getting as many people involved as possible leading up to the evangelistic event.
Sure. By the time I had a revival, I tried to have so many people involved that just if the leadership team showed up, I was going to have good attendance.
You know, think about the way, too, this motivates people to bring people. They're invested in it. So now
yes.
they want to bring their friends to be a part
yes.
of it and their neighbors and those who don't go to church. So they're also motivated not only in their preparation, but also to be inviting the lost and unchurched to come and see what they've put together.
Sure. Now, Steve, is there a template for teams that always have 10 teams, always have 5 teams, always have these teams that you can recommend, or how does that work?
It's so hard to do, Joel, because every event is different. If you've got food, you need a food team. But that might even be broken down, you know, into drinks and to who's going to bring the ice. If you're going to have entertainment, you need a music team or a praise team. If you're going to do giveaways, who's the giveaway team? So there's all kinds of possibilities. There's two I can think of you'd have at practically any event, and it applies to the front end and the back end. You always need a prayer team. Let's don't just hope it happens. Let's pray and ask God to move and to bless. So a prayer team that is working from the beginning until the end. And then on the back end, a follow-up team, because if and when people do respond, we want to follow up. But remembering also, even when we share the gospel, just because a person does not respond at the event does not mean the opportunity is not going to avail itself a week or 2 or 3 weeks down the road if we do good follow-up. Because if someone comes to the event and we never see them again, we may be losing an opportunity to share the gospel and see someone come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Sure, and if you're fortunate, you can find someone who's always willing to lead the follow-up team, and regardless of what the event is, they become so trained in it that they may have a different team every time, but you've got that one follow-up leader. That's a real blessing to a pastor, isn't it?
Great idea, because that person develops a little bit of expertise in that particular area.
There you go. Great ideas on how to get your church involved in your next evangelistic event. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for listening in to Network today. To get more ideas about event evangelism, be sure to visit our website at www.evangelismga.com. That is our equipping website. You can find resources there 24 hours a day. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in to Network today.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Connect with us at evangelismga.com. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.